Welcome to the Common Geeking Program. We're like a book club, but even nerdier. Each episode, we have a topic that four people discuss from their own nerdy perspectives. Joining me this episode are...
I'm not gonna fucking say again. Hi, I'm Jeff. I'm gonna be repping Heroes this week.
Hey, I'm Matt Canavan, and you're watching Disney Channel.
Shut the fuck up.
Just kidding. Hey, I'm Matt Canavan, and I'm representing Shrek. The first movie.
Yeah, because fuck the other Shrek movies.
Hello, I am Keenan Kodish, and I will be representing Wonder Woman, specifically the New 52 incarnation.
Suspicious.
And I hate anyone who says that I pronounce that wrong, because I hate you.
Are you denying that you pronounce it wrong, or...
I don't know which I hate more.
Or do you just hate us for pointing it out?
Insert Pat laugh right here.
Suspicious. Specifically.
And I'm Taimal Chowdhury, or Chowder, whichever you prefer.
Whichever you prefer.
We all prefer Chowder, get over it. No one's gonna call you Temu ever again.
Temu? That's not his...
I don't care what your real name is, Chowder.
It's not a fucking emu.
It's Chowder, it's always gonna be Chowder. Accept it. You have to change your name legally. You're real tired of this shit.
Keenan's gonna go legally change your name to Chowder.
I'll just walk in, I'll pretend I'm him. Yes, my name is... Temu Chowdhury.
You just like hold up the identification and they're just like, yeah, this looks about right. You pretty much look like similar people.
You're 5'6"? Yes.
I'm 5'8".
5'8"? Yes, I am. It's the new 5'10".
All right.
You thought he was 5'6"?
You're all short.
And today's episode will be about Overwatch and the superhero genre. So, Overwatch is an online multiplayer first-person shooter where players will team up to achieve an objective. It's all about teamwork and are using various different heroes with different abilities to, you know, win the game. And each hero has a unique set of powers, you know, with unique designs and personalities. So the games have a very in-depth lore that's covered in various supplemental materials such as animated shorts and comics. And what I had everyone do is watch 5 of the animated shorts and read 2 of the comics. And we're each going to take turns just describing what happens in each short. So let's start with you, Matt. Explain the cinematic trailer.
So basically, there's these two kids, one probably like 6 or 7 years old, and then one that's like probably like an older brother, and they're walking through, I guess it's like an Overwatch museum.
Yep.
And it's got all these like cool relics and shit, and little...
Museum.
Wait, how did I say museum?
Yeah, I was just... Museum. I was just commenting on the way Matt pronounced the word museum. Museum?
Museum.
Museum?
Oh my god.
Museum.
Yeah, okay.
Museum, not museum.
You belong in a museum.
Okay, go on.
I remember. Thank
museum.
You. So yeah, they're going through the museum, and they're looking at all these cool relics and shit, and the little kid is remembering all these awesome things that the Overwatch team did, and then the older brother reminds him that they got disbanded, and then out of nowhere, dun-dun-dun, bad guys show up, fucking Widowmaker and Reaper, and they're trying to steal this one fist thingamajob.
Yeah, I have a question, actually. So all the bad guys in Overwatch, did they used to be part of Overwatch and then they turned bad after disbanded, or are they just villains?
It depends on which ones, but the ones you see in this short, Reaper and Widowmaker were former members of Overwatch.
Wait, Reaper was a member of Overwatch?
Yeah, he was one of the founding members of Overwatch before.
Oh, shit.
Revenge is sweet.
Yeah.
Before he became a total bam.
More like total edgelord.
Don't you mean meme lord?
Shut up, Shrek.
No, not yet. I promised Chowder this would be a meme-free podcast. Yeah, so anyway, then Winston and Tracer, that bitch, she shows up and... You know, they start trying to fight them so they don't steal the fist. The two kids kind of get in the way. So they're kind of fighting a two-front battle between saving the fist and then saving the kids. And then one of the kids ends up taking the fist and then punching Widowmaker in the face.
Get ready to hurt!
And it was lit. And then the bad guys fly away and then Winston and that bitch Tracer end up following them.
That was good. All right.
You want me to talk about what, Recall? Is that what it's called?
Recall, yeah, the one with Winston.
All right, so as I remember it, Winston, he's a big gorilla dude. He's like a scientist, and he's in his lab, and he's sort of like looking over the old Overwatch files, because he's all like Mr. Incredible, and he misses the good old days from when Overwatch was still a thing. So he's reminiscing over all the Overwatch files, and also thinking back about his, I guess you'd call him his father. It was like the scientist who I presume created him? Question mark?
Or like modified him.
Or made him sentient?
Yeah, pretty much created him. Like, he was part of a series of science experiments that created hyper-intelligent gorillas on the moon. And Winston was the one who pretty much gave him that intelligence. So, yeah, basically his
father. Wait, Winston was the one who gave him the intelligence? Winston's the gorilla.
It's also the name of the scientist.
Fucking, what? What a prick. He named the gorilla after himself?
The gorilla named himself.
Okay. Not even like Winston Jr., just Winston.
Hey, what do you have against juniors? I'm a junior.
I don't have anything against juniors, but he's not a junior. He just named himself the same thing. Anyway, so Winston is looking at all of the Overwatch profiles, and then, surprise, bam, shabam, Reaper and some other bad dudes break into his lab. And they're trying to, I guess, steal the Overwatch profiles, presumably so they can hunt down the Overwatch people and kill them. Is that correct?
That is why.
I just assumed that's why. So then Winston gets into a little fight with Reaper. There's some ups and some downs. You know, he gets knocked out. He has some memory about how his father, Winston Sr., was saying, like, oh, the world doesn't have to be the way it is. You can go and change it. And Winston takes this as, like, oh, hey, I don't have to fucking accept the fact that Overwatch is over. I'm going to start it again because I'm going to change the world and make it how I want to make it. So he, like, shoots Reaper, and Reaper goes boom. And then Winston goes and looks at the profiles, and he stops the virus from downloading onto his computer. Yeah, Reaper put a virus on his computer to get all the information. And then he's just like, there's just a bunch of bad guys lying on the ground in my lab. But now is a great fucking time to pull up the profiles that they're trying to get anyway. Just saying. So then he goes and he has a little phone conversation with Tracer, and she's all British and shit.
That bitch Tracer.
And then in the last second, it's revealed that Reaper is still alive. And he goes like, shwoosh.
Next up is Alive. Anyone want to talk about Alive?
Well, I'll talk about Alive. I've got some opinions about it. All right, so in London, there's this Omnic guy, and Omnic is basically robot.
Robot monk, yep.
Yeah, you can't say robot in anything, because that'd be boring, you know.
Well, it's not like they try to ignore the word robot, it's just...
No, I would argue that today sci-fi and fantasy actively tries to, like, avoid the word robot. It's always android, or like, because robot means slave, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, so in the lore, there was this big thing of where Overwatch came about, and that was the Omnic Crisis, in which, like, robots tried to take over the world or something.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, so there's a lot of anti-Omnic sentiment, which you can imagine, because, like, they're also robots. Like, to be perfectly frank, not to be that guy. Anyway, so there's this monk guy, and he's a robot. And sorry, in Omnic.
Only they can call themselves robots, Kenan.
Sorry. So there's this Omnic monk guy, and he's giving it all about how, like, it's okay to marry a robot. Sorry, Omnic. Man, I'm sounding like a super anti-Omnic. So anyway.
Yeah, you are.
All right, fine,
Are you about to pull this back around so you don't sound like that, or make it
I'm
worse?
I'm saying love between a man and a woman, or a man, or whatever you identify as, but as long as you're flesh. Anyway.
Whoa.
Yes.
Triggered. Why can't a man or a woman love a machine?
For several reasons.
Why not?
But let's not get into my personal opinions and distrust of Skynet. Anyway, so luckily.
This is not Skynet.
Shut up. Then suddenly, in the midst of the crowd, there above the rooftop, sorry, not in the crowd, there's Widowmaker, who we saw in the previous short, and she's like, oh, I'm gonna kill this robot dude.
And her name is Widowmaker because she likes spiders and because she kills people and makes them widows. Or makes their spouses widows, right? Is that the pun?
Yeah, pretty much.
Step into my palace and the spider to the fly.
So luckily in the crowd there's a heavily armed Tracer.
That bitch Tracer.
By the way, the security totally overlooks.
That's a good point. It's because they know she's a hero. She's got so much charm.
Despite her walking around in her gear all the time with submachine guns tied to her like fucking like thighs, but you're right. That's not a threat. Anyway, yeah, so they fight, and they're about to stop her, and they're, like, fighting, going back and forth, and they think they have the upper hand, but then they're falling off.
Or she's capable of time travel. Just thought I should point that out to the viewers. All right, go on.
But just a little bit, right?
Yeah, just a little bit.
And then when Widowmaker's all like, oh, I'll just shoot you, and then while we're falling. And then Tracer's like, haha, joke's on you, I'll just use my backwards ability, and she goes backwards. But it turns out that Widowmaker really wasn't aiming for Tracer, but behind Tracer, of which there was the robot priest. So bam, robot priest is dead.
Yeah, that was a really impressive shot. It was like a win-win.
It was pretty impressive. So it was pretty sad. The one couple that we saw that was, you know, I don't know, intermechanical relationship was all like, no, our symbol of peace and love on the planet Earth. So then, like, Tracer was like, why would you do that? And, like, Widowmaker's like, oh, I gotta go, so I'm gonna kick your ass real quick, and then just give a whole thing about how I'm still alive.
All right, next up we have dragons. Okay, so dragons is the short about Genji and Hanzo, right?
What's the second guy's name?
Hanzo, the guy with the bow and arrow.
Yeah, he's fucking stupid. I thought it was pretty obvious that Genji was his brother.
Only a Shamada can control the dragons. Who are you?
I mean, as far as he was concerned, he murdered his brother. You know?
No, I'm sorry. The short was dumb. I'll say it.
I actually rather like that short, but
No, I'm sorry, because this was the entire short in like 5 seconds. Oh, I'm Hanzo and I'm sad because I killed my brother, Genji. Oh no, it's okay because I'm your brother. Oh no, Hanzo. Oh no, you lie. I kill you.
I mean, that actually didn't sum it up, but to expand a little, it's a short about, you know, Hanzo going to the site where he was forced to kill his brother and, you know, him, he's like repenting. Genji comes. Hanzo doesn't recognize Genji because he's a green cyborg ninja dude now. They fight for a bit. Genji reveals, I'm actually your long dead brother. And Hanzo's like, what? Oh my god.
I kill you.
Wait, so, okay. A, how is Genji alive? B, how is Genji not a dragon? And C, how is Genji a cyborg? This didn't explain his backstory a whole lot.
Well, what happened there is that he was saved by Mercy, who's another character, who's like a doctor character, and then was mentored by Zenyatta, who's actually a robot apprentice of the previous guy. And then the monk in the last short.
But why is he not a dragon anymore?
He was never a dragon. He could just use the power of the dragons.
Wait, you mean that was a metaphor?
Da, da, da.
That was a metaphor!
I thought that the other dude actually was a dragon, and then he was a dragon for a while, and then the stranger who turned out to be Genji, yet somehow he doesn't remember that, like, made him a man to humble him.
No, that was all a metaphor.
Oh, what? God damn it. I don't understand it. You know what? Don't act like I should know this shit. He said he was a dragon, and, you know, there's other shit, and there's talking gorillas, so why can't there be dragons?
Moving on to the next one, Hero. This one's about Soldier 76. We open to, like, some city in Mexico, Dorado. You know, we have this girl, she was going to buy something, a flower. Along the way, she comes across a bunch of thugs beating up a defenseless Omni.
They're like the guys in Mad Max.
They're part of the Los Muertos gang.
That means death. They think they're being all cool and edgy by naming themselves.
Anyways, they take her money, they run off into an alley, and she goes after them, and that's when she comes across Soldier 76 coming in and, like, beating up the Los Muertos gang.
Okay, I was really confused because they never said his name.
He's Soldier 76.
Well, I get that now. I saw the 76 on his back, but...
He was, like, the leader of Overwatch until it disbanded, one of the founding members. Eventually, like, there's an explosion. Soldier 76 chooses to save the girl as opposed to chase after the Los Muertos. You know, the girl runs back home. She's all hopeful and shit. And, you know, Soldier 76 is, like, off on a rooftop looking over, being all heroic and shit, despite him claiming that he's done with being a hero. And that's how that story ends. The next short is The Last Bastion.
Oh my god, robot wakes up, walks around, has PTSD, decides not to be a killer. Bam. Summarized.
Next is the short comic Train Hopper about McCree.
It's high noon.
There's a train robbery. McCree stops the train robbery. It was being performed by ex-Overwatch agents called Talon. McCree saves everyone and buggers off like a cowboy and shit.
And he's all like, they're gonna blame me for this shit again. And then they blame him for that shit again.
Yep, pretty much. Next one is about my favorite character, Reinhardt, the Dragon Slayer.
He should go find fucking Genji and what's-his-face and slay them. Except they're not actually dragons.
One of the ex-Overwatch founding member, Reinhardt, is traveling to countryside when he comes across a town that's being attacked by a gang. He tries to stop them, but because of them potentially being able to hurt other people, he lets them just wail on him. Later on, he dons on his power armor, goes to their hideout, and challenges them to a fight. He takes them all out, scares them away from the town, and becomes a hero, and he rides off into the sunset to help other people. With the summaries out of the way, let's move on to each of the domains. Let's start with Jeff.
Hey, yo. Hi, I'm Jeff. In case you haven't heard me on any episodes before, I'm definitely not in like every other fucking episode. But anyway, hi, I'm Jeff. I'm going to be repping Heroes today. Heroes is a television show that was on some network for sure. I don't know which one.
Oh, yeah, it was on NBC. You're welcome.
NBC.
Yeah, good show for like 3 solid seasons.
It was a good show for like... You know, actually, I don't remember when it got bad. I remember it going downhill steadily, though. No, I think it got bad before season 5. I just think I was still invested while I was watching it. It already started happening. Weird shit started happening in season 3. But anyway, so Heroes is a show about a bunch of random people in the world who spontaneously get these superpowers. Kind of like X-Men, but... it kind of takes the story in a different direction. Although, also in a lot of the same directions. They just don't become superheroes.
Different, but also the same.
Yeah, our main characters, we got some main characters. We got Claire Bennett. She's a high school cheerleader, and she is impervious to pretty much everything. She's like Wolverine, basically. She has a healing factor that's crazy. We've got Isaac Mendez. He's cool. He paints the future. And he also does heroin. The heroin is not part of his superpower.
That's just a problem.
Yeah. We've got... Oh, who else is important? Matt Parkman. He reads minds. He's a cop. We've got...
Hiro Nakamura.
Peter Petrelli is the main character. Pretty much the main character. He's like... He takes on other people's powers. Kind of like Rogue. Haha. We're getting some X-Men comparisons, even though we're not talking about X-Men for this episode. And Hiro Nakamura... whose name is actually Hiro, so you see that pun there. He's like an otaku Japanese businessman. Yeah, he's an office worker, basically.
He can manipulate space and time.
Yeah, he controls space and time, so he can like teleport and go back in time and shit. He's pretty cool. Am I missing somebody besides like Siler? I feel like I'm missing somebody important. Oh, there's Nathan. Yeah, Nathan. Nathan Petrelli is Peter's brother. He can fly, and he's also a huge asshole, and he's running for Congress. Oh, and there's Mohinder. Mohinder doesn't have any powers. He's just a geneticist.
Oh, and there's also a serial killer walking around trying to steal powers named Siler.
Yeah. Siler is a serial killer. He understands how things work. Which means that he kills people, and then he opens up their head, and he studies their brain. And because his power is that he can understand how things work, he, like, studies their brain and learns how to use their powers in his own mind. So he goes around murdering people and taking their powers, basically. It's pretty cool. I like Siler a lot. Played by Zachary Quinto.
Yeah, they do actually make us like him, which is pretty impressive. Because he was a monster season 1.
He's kind of still a monster in all the other seasons. In season 3, once he took Claire's powers, he just mellowed out a lot because he was like, well, I'm like impervious now, so why do I care about like doing anything anymore?
Because he couldn't die, wouldn't you?
Wait, if her ability is basically Wolverine, how did he like study her?
He cut her head off. Well, he cut her head open like he does to everyone else. And he studied her brain, and she was, like, alive through the whole process. And then he just, like, handed her scalp back, and she put it back on, and she was fine. Anyway, so Heroes, especially, mostly season 1, is, like, a story about... There's a lot of prophecy and shit going on, because there's this big threat where Isaac is painting the future, and he finds out that there's this bomb that's just gonna explode and kill everyone in like 3 weeks or something like that. So then the entire first... Oh, Nikki! I forgot about Nikki!
Shut up. We're not gonna talk about Nikki. How about that?
I don't want to talk about Nikki much either, but she is an important character in the first season. Nikki, from what we know about her first season, she's like this woman, god damn it, you know, I don't know how to describe her. She like blacks out and then wakes up and there's a bunch of people that are dead.
She has an alter ego. It's basically that. It's kind of like a Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah,
Mr.
that's
Hyde
how they explain
thing.
It later. Yeah, and her alter ego also has super strength and a tattoo. Anyway, so she exists and she's got a son. His name is Micah. He's cool. He's a lot smarter than she is. And her husband, DL, is a criminal. Sort of. Anyway, we're not going to talk about them because they're confusing. Anyway, so the entire first season is about this basically trying to prevent this bomb from going off in a few weeks. So, and it's like a lot of trying to convince people that they're part of this. Peter is super on board. Peter wants to be in something bigger. Hiro just wants to be a fucking superhero, so he's super about it. Isaac is pretty skeptical at first because he's not sure whether he actually has powers or if it's just the heroin. Nathan is like an asshole and super not on board, but we don't really care about Nathan because all he does is fly. And Claire is just like, oh, I just want to be a normal teenager and not have this super cool ability to never die. Like, holy fuck. Of all the fucking passive powers you could have to complain about, like, it's not like she's got a third arm or something. It's not that hard to hide. Just don't get hurt.
Also, just say you healed. Bam.
Anyway, I don't understand Claire's problem, but Claire is actually not as annoying as I'm making her sound. She's actually a pretty good character. I don't know. In terms of, like, high school cheerleader stereotypes, Claire is pretty not annoying. She's, like, kind of a bitch at first, but she gets over it pretty quickly. Anyway, so I chose to talk about heroes because Overwatch is kind of this, like, this story about, like, all of these
heroes,
right? Rare cases that band together to be part of this, like, superhero agency. But heroes is like, oh, all these people with superpowers, they're actually not going to be superheroes. They're just kind of regular people who have to live with the fact that they have these powers. So it's kind of a weird, weird dichotomy there.
With that, we'll move on to Matt's domain of...
Hey, it's Matt. I'm talking about Shrek.
I'm sorry. Matt, it's funny because, like, okay, so you know when you have the little Skype window open, whoever is talking, like, it bleeps up as their image in the corner? Well, Matt's profile picture is Shrek right now, and when he started talking, Shrek just popped up in my corner. So right when he said Shrek, Shrek just popped up on my screen.
Anyways, so I chose Shrek. Shrek is a movie by DreamWorks from 2001, and it...
I've never seen it.
What?
I'm kidding.
Oh my god, I almost had a heart attack. Yeah, I'm sorry. So basically it's about an ogre, and he's getting his land taken away by evil lord Farquaad.
It's not ogre. It's never ogre.
And to get his land back, he has to go on a quest to save the princess. And the thing is, he's an ogre. Nobody really likes him.
That is the thing, that he's an ogre.
In fact, I have a quote right here from Shrek.
Whoa,
where
that's coming prepared.
Oh yeah, I'm so prepared for this. Where Shrek's like, look, I'm not the one with the problem, okay? It's the
oh
world that
God.
Seems to... I can't do it without laughing, I'm sorry.
So what the fuck was that accent?
I don't know.
I'm not the one with the problem, okay?
People take one look at me and go, aha, help, run, a big, stupid, ugly ogre. They judge me before they even know me. That's why I'm better off alone. So yeah, everyone hates Shrek.
But Shrek is love, and Shrek is life.
But the thing is, he saves a princess in the end, and he saves all his fairy friends. So he is not the hero we deserve, but the hero we need.
Nah.
Damn it. Matt, you're just, like, going super meme lord for this episode. Fucking bringing Shrek as a goddamn...
He really is, though.
I mean, yeah, he is a big green rage monster that helps people, like the Hulk, so...
That's just one layer of the onion, the ogre onion.
For your information, there's a lot more to ogres than people think.
Yeah, so I chose Shrek because I thought that he personified the superhero down to the very last straw.
How can he personify a superhero when he's not a super when he's not a person?
He ogrified.
He ogrifies the archetype of a superhero.
Yeah, that.
And let's move on to Keenan.
Hello, everybody. Tis I, Keenan. I know you miss me. Now, I am representing Wonder Woman. Now, who is Wonder Woman, you may ask? Well, you have been living under a rock, my friend. Clearly. So, I'll give you a brief rundown. Wonder Woman is an Amazon warrior from Themyscira, also known as Paradise Island.
Same.
She, in the DC Comics...
That was my nickname in high school.
No, it wasn't. I was there. Your nickname was Dumbass. Anyway. So she came to... She, after a American pilot named Steve Trevor crash-landed on Themyscira, she took him back to the world of men, because there's no men on Themyscira, it's all women. And she,
how do they reproduce? Are they made out of clay? Is that what it is?
They are immortals. And that is why they reproduce. It's something about women, it's been that way since like ages. So after Steve Trevor crash landed on Paradise Island and she volunteered, winning a competition to prove that she was the greatest one on the island, the greatest warrior, and brought it back, and assist joined the Justice League while also facing her own individual monsters as Wonder Woman, an inspiration and superhero to us all.
Yeah, Keenan actually chose to talk about a real superhero for this podcast. I'm glad someone did it.
I'm going to destroy you guys. You don't even know.
Would you say we're about to get Shrek'd?
Shut the fuck up, Matt.
Okay, let's move on to the discussion portion of the podcast where I ask questions about the topic. So the interesting thing about Overwatch is that none of the characters are referred to as superheroes in the universe or even by the developers, I think. But despite that, whenever I describe this game to people, I usually describe the characters as being superheroes or supervillains, just of the things of the superhero genre. And I'm pretty certain that I'm not the only one who does this.
What if you were? What if you found out you were just actually the only person and your entire life was a lie? What if you found out that not only you're the only person who did that, but you're the only person who exists at all? The entire world is just an illusion of your imagination, Chowder. What if you found out?
Pretty boring life you made for yourself, if I have to say anything.
So my question to the people I've imagined is... What is it that separates a superhero from a regular hero? Is it the powers? Most heroes have supernatural abilities. Is it the costume?
Keenan is raising his hand on an audio podcast.
Hold up, let me monologue for a minute, then he can talk.
It's funny because we're talking about superheroes.
AKA, fuck you, Keenan. I'm gonna keep talking.
So anyways, whether it's powers or costume or motivation, superheroes have a lot in common with just regular heroes. So what is it that makes superheroes and things of the superhero genre different from regular heroes? Okay.
I have one word for you. Sacrifice. Self-sacrifice is what defines the superhero genre. In Wonder Woman, she constantly has to make self-sacrificing decisions for the good of everyone. At one point in the series, she actually becomes God of War. She does this by killing Ares, who she had a lot of respect for because Ares trained her, at least in the New 52 incarnation, which is what I'm going to focus on. Could it be easier if she just gave up the God of War mantle? Yes, because she finds that being God of War and being Wonder Woman are two very hard things, because Wonder Woman is all about preserving life and being like that superhero, but God of War is about, you know, war and killing and stuff. So a lot of people are like, you gotta be the God of War, Wonder Woman. Just kill somebody. And she's like, no, I can't do that. A lot of what she does, she sacrifices parts of herself to do the right thing. She even invites other people. Like, if she finds out that there were men on Themyscira that were given up to be enslaved by Hephaestus. Because, yeah, Hephaestus was actually doing a good thing. Because instead of killing them like the Amazons were going to, he said, hey, give them to me, I'll put them to work, and like give them like trade and actually teach them stuff, you know. And they actually really liked him.
So they're like all blacksmiths or something?
Yeah, they're all blacksmiths. And she actually invites them back to Themyscira, but her people get really angry about this and actually lead a small rebellion led by Donna Troy.
So that's fucked up.
And even though it damages her reputation and her friendships with a lot of people, she does it for the good of all kind. So she makes those self-sacrificing decisions, and sometimes at the cost or what we... you know, what could be the cost of our own life. And to me, that is what makes a superhero distinct from other heroes. Because other heroes, not necessarily, are always that kind of sacrifice. Mm,
I don't think I agree. I think that sacrifice isn't necessarily what's required to be a superhero.
I would disagree.
Yeah, but by that definition, Jesus Christ would be a superhero, since he and Christianity is all about self-sacrifice.
Are you suggesting that Jesus isn't a superhero, Chowder?
Yeah, Jesus, JC, is my secret identity, okay, Holmes? Think about it. His real name was Jesus of Nazareth. People called him the Christ. Alter ego. Boom. Superhero. Jesus Christ is a superhero.
That's an alter ego. Yeah. I think I'm personally going to have to side with Keenan on this one. I think that I think that sacrifice is a pretty big staple in the superhero thing. Hold on. I don't know if you can necessarily say that sacrificing their own life aspect of it is what makes them a hero, because that, like Chowder's saying, that wouldn't be the case with, like, most heroes. Like, firemen sacrifice or risk their lives.
Plus, plenty of other archetypes in other genres also tend to be heroic, like white hat cowboys in westerns.
All right, you're right. However, I was about to lead into one. If I would say this, cowboys, I've watched a lot of westerns, man. They are not always doing it for the greater good. A lot of times they're doing it because I need to do it because I'm a cowboy.
Just manifest destiny.
Yeah. And two, also the steaks.
Like, what kind of steaks? Like, T-bone steaks? They do it for meat, right?
Superhero, the stakes are always incredibly high and exaggerated. Also, once again, a real quick note back on the sacrifice thing. Yes, it is part of other genres. However, it is not, I would argue, not nearly as consistent as with superheroes. And like I said, the other part is the stakes, in which that's that exaggerated superhero. Like, it's hard to, like, that's why some characters are, like, ordinary superheroes, and those are weird superheroes, because the stakes are usually so high. It's always, like, the fate of this magical amulet, or the fate of this entire city, which isn't just
going to be... the fate of the swamp, because all Shrek wants is to be alone. Hey, I have to tie it back. I have to tie it back into my thing, don't I?
All of Shrek's decisions are not superhero-y because they're all motivated by his own desires, not necessarily about what's good.
Yeah, I would agree that Shrek's beginnings were not very heroic because he was motivated by just trying to get shit out of his swamp. But like in most of these stories, by the end he ended up, you know, turning it around and caring about the bigger picture in the story. I also would not say Shrek's a superhero though.
No. He didn't sacrifice anything because it wasn't comfortable anymore.
His old life.
I do personally think that to be a superhero, you have to have some sort of ability or power. Not necessarily, there are superheroes who don't, like Batman, but his power is like his ingenuity, and you don't have to have an actual superpower, but I do think you have to have something that makes you stand apart. If Shrek's superpower is just that he's an ogre.
Take a look at me! What am I?
Really tall?
No, you're right, he does. I do think Shrek is a hero.
I mean, if you really want to talk about ingenuity, you can't say he isn't a genius. You remember how he stuck the dragon in the castle, weaving them around with the chain and stuff? That's genius.
Shrek is not Batman, okay?
For me, what defines a superhero is that they embody a power fantasy. Whether it's Batman embodying the power of ingenuity, or Superman embodying order, or Wonder Woman embodying female power. All superheroes are about living out a power fantasy.
So who in Overwatch kind of reflects that?
That's the thing. I think all the characters in Overwatch fulfill some sort of power fantasy, whether it's Reinhardt fulfilling the knight in shining armor fantasy, or Winston embodying the power of science. Superheroes are about being the symbol of some sort of higher power.
I would argue with you that I don't necessarily like the way you're putting it. However, I will agree with you that I also think another crucial part of the superhero genre is the aspect of inspiration. When Wonder Woman goes around, I can't count how many times Wonder Woman has inspired someone within the comic world and within other comics, not just Wonder Woman. and other comic heroes, superheroes, have a sort of inspirational vibe to them, like Superman. I was just reading one in Rebirth about he inspired someone, and I believe that Overwatch does fit that a lot, because they are these lofty, almost ideal people, and they inspire other people to try to reach those ideals. So I think through the shorts, particularly the first one with the kids, even though the one guy's like 16, takes on these assassins by himself to help someone, they have inspired him to do that.
Also, Donkey kind of inspires Shrek. Honestly, though, where would Shrek be without Donkey?
So you were saying is Donkey's the superhero now?
I feel like you guys aren't taking me seriously. Fuck you guys.
I know, it's just funny that every time you bring up Shrek things, it's like it's a joke, but that's just you relating your domain to the topic.
Yeah, it's so rough.
You're talking about Shrek! No, I do take it seriously. I see what you're saying, Matt.
I would say that the closest one in Hero, like, or for example, in Heroes, I think Hero is a superhero.
Yatta!
Yeah, Hero wants to be a super, because he kind of, like, strives to be one. And because, like, his entire thing is he's sort of basing his identity off of comics and stuff like that. So he has this ancient person that he looks up to. What was his name? It's like Takizo or some shit like that. I actually can't remember. Yeah, Takizo Kensei. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so Hiro has this guy that he looks up to, Takizo Kensei, who is like an old story that his dad told him, which he later ends up being an actual character, but we're not going to talk about fucking Adam Monroe, okay? He's a fucked up character. So Hiro is like basing on, he references like X-Men comics all the time. He references Batman and Superman and stuff like that. Takes this trope of a superhero and kind of plays with it. And he actually wants to be a superhero. Whereas everyone else in the show, except for like maybe kind of Peter Petrelli, they're just like, I don't fucking want my powers. I don't want to be in any part of this shit. But Hiro is all like, basically, I don't know. Hiro is just like, he gets his powers and he's just like, fuck yeah, let's do this shit. And everyone else is just like, man, I don't want my arm to reattach itself after I die, Claire.
Yeah, no, I would argue that Hiro definitely is a hero because, one, he inspires those around him.
Yeah.
Two, what all his missions, the stakes are like the fate of the world, at least in his storylines. And
However, Kanan, I would not say that Hiro Nakamura has a whole lot of self-sacrifice because he kind of wants this life.
I would. No, you're right. He does want this life. However, he sacrifices consistently, I would say, to do things.
Yeah, one, I guess that's true. Well, he
sacrificed a lot of his friendships and
tries
to retain the good part of him. He tries to stay true to what is good, and he has to sacrifice that. He doesn't want to kill Siler in the first season, and even though he has the chance to, he doesn't. He sacrifices the possibility to like end all this, do the right thing.
He's like about sacrificing his morals versus like sacrificing what would be better for the world. Because at the end of the season, he does end up killing Siler. Well, he stabs him with a sword. He's trying to kill him. Siler ends up living, but that does not mean that the intent was not there. So I do see what you're saying there.
However, I would like to say, though, that I don't particularly think all the heroes in Overwatch can be superheroes. Some of them, I would say, fit my idea of a superhero, but not all of them. Like, I wouldn't necessarily see Tracer as a superhero.
So, Keenan, what doesn't make her a superhero?
One, not necessarily.
Is it because she's British? Because that's racist. Well, one.
No. It's actually because she helps that filthy object. No. I got that she's a hero, but she's not, like, a superhero. Because I don't believe the stakes were necessarily high enough, although it was the fate of one man, and that man was very important. But she also failed. Two.
So?
She should have taken the bullet.
Yeah, but she didn't. Yeah, that just makes her stupid. That doesn't mean she, like, I'm sure that, like, what we got from Tracer's character, I think that if she knew that, that the bullet was going to go hit someone else, that she would have chosen to take the bullet, personally.
However, she did inspire people, which is true. Like I said, I think they do. Like I said, I do think a lot of them fit the bill. I don't think necessarily all of them do. Like, I would definitely say Reinhardt fits the bill. He's inspirational, he's self-sacrificing, and he embodies an ideal and wants people to inspire
Well,
them.
Kenan, out of a...
Well, if that's the case, then I think that would make Donkey the real hero of Shrek.
Yes.
Literally inspires everyone to go save the day. And...
But he doesn't do anything himself. He's more like the Jimmy Olsen of of superheroes.
I'm making waffles.
Oh! I got those pictures for you.
Wait, question, Keenan. Out of the shorts in the comics that we watch, which of those heroes do you not think embodies the hero?
Winston, definitely. I say he's a hero. I wouldn't say he's a superhero.
You wouldn't say that Winston.
So what makes a hero super then?
Well, I think Winston is Beast. He's like, from what I got of his character, he's basically Beast from X-Men. Wouldn't you say? Because he's super smart and he's super strong.
If you're talking gorilla, you're automatically a fucking superhero. Coco's a superhero.
Yeah, I would say Winston's a hero. I like Winston.
I don't know. I wouldn't say, yeah.
You know, I guess maybe Winston isn't the sharpest tool in the shed.
All right, let's move on to the ratings section of the podcast. In this section, each of the representatives will rate these shorts and comics, and then I will give what is essentially a golden star to one of the three representatives. This episode, the golden star will be Play of the Game, and the ratings will be out of Hanzo mains.
What are those? You're gonna have to explain that one to me.
Well, you see, when you play competitive, inevitably you will come across people who choose one character and refuse to switch, despite the fact that that character is not useful at the moment. Very often, those players tend to be fucking Hanzo players.
Wow, man, tell us how you really feel about Hanzo.
Burr, 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 burr.
All right, let's start off with Jeff. How do you rate the shorts and comics?
Okay, I think those shorts, overall, I'm going to give a 3 out of 5, because I enjoyed them a lot more than I was expecting to, honestly, because I didn't know anything about Overwatch before watching them, so I was thinking, like, oh, I'm just not going to understand any of this stuff, but I enjoyed those. Actually, you know what? No, I'll give it a 4 out of 5. I liked those a lot. I just feel bad for giving it a 4 out of 5 since I gave Star Wars Episode 4 A New Hope 3 out of 5. So I explained it in that episode, so I'm not gonna explain it here, but I'm gonna give those shorts a 4 out of 5. I didn't like the comics as much, but the shorts hit me in a good place. I really liked the one with what's his face with Winston. It gave me a very like Incredibles vibe. And I just thought that they were nice, well-done little stories, and watching those made me wish that Overwatch was, instead of a video game, was a movie or a television series. So I think that does something for me, because I've kind of had a lot of resent towards Overwatch since it came out, because everyone always fucking never shuts up about it. Similar to League of Legends, but that... Anyway, so those shorts made me a lot more interested in the source material, so for that I think that they earned a 4 out of 5, whatever you said.
Hanzo
things. 4 out of 5 Hanzo mains. Hanzo's the dragon guy?
Yeah, he's the archer.
The guy who's not actually a dragon.
So I'm gonna agree with Jeff as far as the shorts go. I really did like the whole like Incredibles vibe to the second one, partially because The Incredibles is one of my favorite movies ever of all time.
Not Shrek?
That's a whole separate podcast.
Matt's hosts an entire podcast picking between Shrek and Incredibles. We just have an entire episode debating the two.
I did like the, you know, honestly, the first two are the ones that I remember the most. But the first one had, I thought, had like a really good feel-good vibe to it. I wasn't a big fan of the graphic novels. I think I'd give graphic novels probably a 3 out of 5, but the shorts definitely a 4 out of 5. Hanzo mains.
Hey, would give it 3 Hanzo mains, only because, frankly, it does a really good job building the world sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Other times, it just kind of gives us, like, a little bit of information, and, like, they're cool and the art style's nice, but sometimes it's kind of a generic story. Like, a little bit of the McCree was kind of like, I was on a bus, and then, like, these guys took over the bus, but I stopped them, because it's
my job. They were interesting snippets of stories, but... As someone who doesn't know anything about Overwatch, I left still not knowing a lot about any of the characters.
But the thing is, though, and this is why I give it, like, minus 2 whole stars, is because, really, it gives us some lore, but in the game, there's almost no real lore. Yeah, because you're literally just playing. Yeah, when you play the game, it's literally Widowmaker, Hanzo, and Tracer standing next all on the same side delivering a bomb.
Or just like tie it together.
Into like a peaceful village, whatever. The point is, it's just, It just seems like a wasted idea almost to have such a cool, all this like deep lore and no way to really expand it through the game itself. However, it all the individual things are really well done for the most part.
All right, and now it's time to see who gets play of the game. Drum roll, please. And the winner of play of the game is Kanan Kodesh.
I'm gonna destroy you guys. Oh my god, robot wakes up, walks around, has PTSD, decides not to be a killer. One word for you, sacrifice. Self-sacrifice is what defines the superhero genre.
Cool.
Thank you for listening. Again, I'm Taimul Chowdhury, or Chowder, whichever you prefer. And this week's topic was Overwatch and superheroes. You can check it out on YouTube. Our next episode will be hosted by Matt, and we'll be talking about...
The next episode is hosted by me, where I talk about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the episode Max Big Break, Season 6, Episode 4.
Read up before it airs on April the 7th. This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Taimul Chowdhury, joined by Jeff Lovett, Matt Canavan, and Kenan Kodesh. Brought to you by Passive Aggressiveness, because Jeff and Colin were kind enough to give me only 2 weeks to edit this podcast. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Lovett, with this episode edited by Taimul Chowdhury, and featuring original music by Colin Ketchin. If any of you listening want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Geeking Program. Email us at commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes, leave a review. If you want to know more, go to commongeekingprogram.com.
This episode is fucking stupid.